Come back with me to our lesson for today, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 in particular. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Charlie Brown once said to Linus, "I worry about school a lot." Then he thought a little longer, and he said, "I worry about worrying so much about school." He reflected some more and concluded, "Even my anxieties have anxieties." We worry. A pastor colleague of mine, United Methodist in another state, sends me his prayer chain stuff. Joys and concerns, he calls it. The joys are few. The concerns are many. Why? We worry. Worry is the devil's inside job on our lives, friends. And so as we sit here today, it's going to be tough for some of us just not to worry about some things, right? You brought this stuff with you. You're going to process it as we go through. That is life. So as we are still dealing with some messages and some thoughts for the new year, we want to deal with this one of anxiety. For as we go through this year, anxieties would present themselves. If you're here, you're going to have some problems. And I have better news for you. Whenever you meet a person, you meet a problem. Problems will come. So how are we going to cope? The text gives us an alternative to what we are, let us say, naturally inclined to do in the human flesh. Do not worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. These words, you would see, resemble the words of the Lord Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount. Why worry about what you're going to eat, drink, wear, put on? Your heavenly Father knows you need these things and how he provides them for you. So do not worry. Relinquish your anxieties. Now, the Greek word for worry, the one behind the English text we have, is merimnao. And it's translated in some Bibles as anxiety, and in others it is translated worry. And given my nature, when I started doing the research, I was beginning to try to chase down all these places where it is worry, where it's anxiety. It's an overwhelming undertaking. So guess what? My anxiety level was rising because I could not achieve the end. So I decided to listen to the text and not worry about it. So in the message today, we use worry, anxiety interchangeably. So we have this word here in the Greek, merimna, or sometimes merimna. It really means originally to distract, to divide, to pull in different directions. So when we worry, that's what's going on in our lives. We are distracted, divided inside, pulled in different directions. My hopes pull me in this direction. My fears pull me in that direction. merimnao. And so when you look at some ancient documents from this time, the first century, you find this word. There's a certain papyrus letter where a wife writes to her absent husband, and she said, "I cannot sleep at night or by day because of my worry, merimnao, about your welfare." Worry. And a mother writing to her son after hearing about his good health and prosperity, she said, "That is all my prayer and all my anxiety, merimnao, my worry about you." And the poet Anacreon wrote, "When I drink wine, my worries, my merimnao," they go to sleep. They go to sleep. Now, I do not recommend that to you. You're a good Methodist. You don't drink. So we have worry, anxiety. Now, when we look at the English word anxious, the basic root for this word is to strangle, to choke. So worries are things that strangle you, you know, they grab you by the throat. They choke you. Paul is saying, do not be strangled, be choked, be distracted, be divided, be pulled in different directions by the concerns of life. So how are you doing? Do not worry. I heard about a woman who for many years could not sleep at night because she felt that her house would be burglarized. So she would stay up all night listening for the burglar. So one night, her husband heard a noise. He went down the stairs, and yes, he found a burglar downstairs. He said to the burglar, "Could you come upstairs and meet my wife? She has been waiting for you for 10 long years." Choked, you know. Worry. So what am I doing when I worry? When I'm worrying about stuff, I'm simply saying, I have some problems that are too big for God. God can't handle this. I must. I worry. R.H. Mouse once said, "Worry is practical atheism." That's a nice line, huh? Practical atheism. We don't really believe in God now. Said the robin to the sparrow. Very appreciate the song, the choir song. Fits in this so much. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I would really like to know why those anxious human beings rush about and hurry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." When we fail to trust, we worry. So verse 6 says, do not worry about anything. Let's unpack this for a minute. The verb here is in what you'll call the imperative mood. It's a command. Paul is not given a suggestion. He's not saying this is optional. It would be a nice thing to do it. Do it when you get around to it. It is a command. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. The Bible has the authority to talk to us like that. Stop worrying. Why? Worry is irritability. It makes us miserable. It makes it difficult for other people to live with us. It's like pressure inside we can't turn off. Do not worry. The other thing I want you to know about the first couple of words of verse 6 is, it's a command. But if you look at it in the original, there's an emphasis on the word nothing. Do not worry about anything. Here you have the positive side, but the negative is very much in the text. Do not worry about anything, or literally from the original, nothing worry about. And the emphasis is on nothing is the first word in the text, the verse. So he is saying, when it comes to the stuff of life, nothing. Do not worry about anything. Now, nothing is the most exclusive word in the language. It leaves everything out. Do not worry. Nothing should you worry about. That's the best way to look at nothing in life should you worry about. Now, he isn't saying go through life with rose-colored glasses. He is not saying evil doesn't exist. He isn't saying that the results of the biopsy may not be true. He is not saying that the legal papers you get are not real. Yeah, he is saying bad things happen. But you shouldn't be anxious. Do not worry. Are you saying, preacher, I shouldn't worry about anything at all? Well, I say that because I read about this fellow who went to the doctor. And when he came home, he was very sad. His wife asked, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "The doctor gave me some pills and he said I should take them every day for the rest of my life." She said, "What's wrong with that? People take tablets every day for the rest of their lives." He said, "Yes, I know that, but he only gave me 4 pills." I don't know, maybe you'll worry a bit, but even then, if you're going to die in 4 days, you're going to die, huh? Do not worry about anything. Why? You have an option. You may pray about everything. And should we pray about everything? We won't find ourselves worrying about anything. And so Paul doesn't only tell people not to worry. He tells them how to do it. So the rest of verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Good intentions are not enough. You must pray. Pray about everything, small or great. If it is small enough to make you worry about it today, then it is big enough to pray about. In everything, pray. A woman once asked British Bible teacher, great preacher G. Campbell Morgan, "Do you think we should pray about the little things in our lives or just the big things?" Have you ever asked a question like that? And G. Campbell Morgan looked at her and said, "Madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God?" All small stuff to God. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. The big word here for us is supplication. What is that? Supplication really is a specific request. So he is saying, when you pray, bring your specific needs to God in prayer. Don't always pray in general, "Lord, bless Bobby today." No, say, "God, help Bobby get over his alcohol addiction," that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Be specific. Deliver Mary from her angry, bitter spirit. Supplication. in everything by prayer and supplication. I want you to look at that little word, you know, everything. Everything. I've observed across the years, and I still get stuff from people's prayer chains, and their prayer cards. And as I've observed, friends, when I look at the requests people make, I have to conclude that anyone looking at all the prayer requests and prayer chains and prayer cards, anyone looking at that who doesn't know the Bible would come to this simple conclusion. The God we serve could only do one thing, heal bodies. That's all he could do. That's all he could do. For there is more concern about the mortal body than the immortal soul. Paul is saying, in everything, bring everything to God in prayer. Therefore, before you make a significant purchase, pray about that. Amen? Before you discipline a child, pray. Before you give some advice, pray. Pray about your doubts and fears. Pray for strength to love your neighbor. Pray for the guilt to be removed. God can do these things. Yeah, I've seen hundreds of prayer cards through my life, and I could possibly just think about two or three that would say, pray for Johnny that his soul would be saved, that he would come to know the Lord. Very few like that. Why? In everything. So, friends, let us bring everything to God in prayer. Amen? Pray for this church, that God will give us workers for Sunday school, for youth, for a variety of ministries. These are things we should be bringing before God on a daily basis. In everything by prayer and supplication. Make your request unto God. John Calvin, the great theologian, once said, whatever we need is to be found in God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through prayer that we reach those riches of our Heavenly Father. Our biggest need is not for this or that blessing today, this or that temporal benefit. Our greatest need is God Himself. So the Apostle James in chapter 4, verse 2, gives a troubling verse. You want something and you do not get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have, because you do not ask God. In everything, by prayer and supplication, and now he adds, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Don't just ask God, thank God. And one trait of the dark heart is the absence of gratitude to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Give God thanks. So life comes with its problems. God is saying to us, face them, but do not worry about them. What to do? Pray and give thanks. And you will experience the peace of God, not because God will grant you every little thing you ask for, but because through prayer and thanksgiving, God breaks the shackles of worry and anxiety from our lives. We cannot secure life by worrying about it. We must pray. Trust God. In the early days of aviation, a pilot was making his flight around the world. And when he was some 2 hours or so from his last landing, he heard a noise in the plane. And he quickly recognized it was the gnawing of a rat. And he realized that it could be when the plane was on the ground, this rat got in. And for all he knew, this rat could be chewing away at some vital cable or control of the plane. It was a very serious situation he had on hand. The man became concerned. The man became very anxious. At first, he didn't know what to do, but then he thought about it. It is a rodent. It was made to live underground and under the ground, not high in the air. And so he began to climb. He went up 1,000 feet. The chewing continued. He went another 1,000 feet. Up to 20,000 feet. And the chewing stopped. When he landed the plane, yes, it was a rat. It was dead. It could not survive the heights. It was made for the ground. Worry is like a rat in our souls, friends. You know what I mean? It eats away at our joy, our peace of mind. It eats away at our energy, the rat of worry. How you kill it? Ascend the hill of the Lord. Amen. Come to the throne of grace. Get into the heights of God's blessings. Worry cannot survive there. Your problems cannot breathe the air of the hills of God. They die. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You can't worry and pray at the same time. You can't give thanks and rejoice in the Lord and worry at the same time. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7, he said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I tell you, friends, these two verses are two of the most beautiful verses in the New Testament. I recommend you memorize them. Write them out. Put them on the refrigerator wherever you post things. This is very comforting truth. So we ask ourselves, when I bring my problems to God in prayer with thanksgiving, what's the result? What's the outcome? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So here's a peace that is not induced by drugs, you know. You don't pop a pill and get it. Here is a peace that the therapist would never give. It is the peace of God. God's own peace. The peace that resides in God Himself. The peace purchased with the precious blood of Christ. The peace of God will come and guard my heart and mind. And Paul talks about it as what? The peace of God that surpasses, you see it in the text, all understanding. What that means, friends? It means when we bring our stuff to God, there's an inner calm. We rest from our strivings and our fears. An inner rest takes over us, takes over our souls. It is the peace of God. This is how it works. Something happens. And normally you would be furious. You would be angry. You would be spitting fire. But you're not. Have you ever had the experience where you are in a hellish situation and you find yourself very calm and peaceful? Just calm and peaceful. The peace of God, it surpasses all understanding. And Paul says it guards our hearts and minds. And the word guard is a military word. You know, it's like soldiers posted to protect our minds. Why? The mind worries. The hearts with all the hurtful feelings we worry about. The peace of God guards our lives. There's a battle for our minds today to make us think certain ways so that we behave certain ways. And as we go through life, there are people that push our buttons. You know what I mean? They're not just where to poke you to make you act a certain way. Oh, yes, it happens to me too. The peace of God. Peace of God is there to guard your heart. I've had a couple of experiences in life, friends, where I don't know why I didn't act a certain way. I could have. Part of me would say I should have. But I didn't. As it were, peace was given. And when you have it, it is just there and it knows when to kick in and take over. I'm working on a blog. It possibly get in the next couple of weeks. And in it, I reflected on these vehicles that start out as a front-wheel drive. They advertise as a four-wheel. But in truth, they are really front-wheel. But as you go down the road, when conditions are bad and warrant, the shift to this four-wheel or all-wheel, if you know the difference between four-wheel and all-wheel, you are super smart. It would just shift from front-wheel to four-wheel or all-wheel to take care of the rough conditions, the icy roads, whatever. It is something like this. The peace of God is there. And when your life needs to shift to keep you from going off the icy bridge, as it were, the peace of God controls. A number of years ago, we were building a house. And after the rough electrical was all done, drywall was all up, electrician came to do the final electrical, and we found out that the entire job was sabotage. All in the walls, wires were cut. The morning I showed up, the electrician greeted me with this news. We can't do this. Wires are cut all through the place. So I said, well, let's just do what we have to do. Tear the drywall out, fix the thing, let's move on. And his assistant said to me afterwards, he said, I don't understand you, man. If I told the average guy that, he would be cussing, he'll be swearing, he'll be spitting fire. And you just acted as though I said, let us go to Disneyland. I don't know why I acted like that, but it could be what I'm talking about. Life throws stuff at us. Paul says, do not worry about it. In everything, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that you cannot understand, nor your therapist, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. So be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and petition,
Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. Number 140, Great is Thy